Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. I want to particularly thank those individuals who are watching this program live. Also want to announce that today is the day we do Mythbusters, and the co-host is Chris Rossini. And Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
So what do you have in store for us?
Well, there's news back and forth, kind of, with Trump's upcoming supposed tax cuts. When they're going to happen, we don't know. But we'll at least today talk about a few things that people should look out for when it actually occurs. So politicians are notorious for creating illusions. So we're going to first discuss the difference between a real tax cut and that slippery word tax reform. Can you please start there, Dr. Paul?
Well, the general rule is if you see the word reform, run for the hills. Somebody's going to get a benefit and somebody's going to pay for it, and there will not be any tax cut, a net tax cut for the people. I think what you have to watch for, if they talk about tax changes and tax reduction, is will the revenues go down to government? And you know, I've been watching this for a few years, and there's been a lot of tax reforms, but revenues never go down. For one reason, spending never goes down, and they need the revenues. What they do is they play games. They appeal to the special interests, who are the noisiest, and they have to kowtow to them and close up loopholes and things like this. So there's a big difference between reform and tax cuts, because the tax cuts would mean that the government actually would have to shrink. There was probably one time when there were real tax reductions, and they had to adjust after World War II. So revenues actually went down, but it was so huge and out of proportion, you know, because of the war. But basically, tax cuts don't net out less money for the people, and government keeps growing. But there will be always reform. And right now they're arguing, it was going to be immediate. My proposal was, everybody seemed to agree, at least in the Trump group, that we need to lower the corporate tax. Fine, write one page tax code change. Just say the corporate rate is now 15%, and that would be it. And, you know, nobody pays corporate taxes. The corporations don't pay it. The people pay it because they're always passed on. So this would give more competition and help drive prices down because they don't have to pass so much taxes onto the consumer. So this is what we are waiting for, to see what happens and whether or not they will go through it with it. But they're arguing about it. But they haven't quite figured out this whole idea of how do we pay for tax cuts.
Yes, next, Dr. Paul, and this is an odd one, especially coming from a businessman like Donald Trump. But he wants to make it more difficult to benefit from specific tax deductions, and he wants to close loopholes so people don't exploit it, so they say. Yet the famous Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises said, quote, capitalism breathes through those loopholes. So who's right on loopholes?
Well, I think I'll vote with Mises. And obviously that is the case. If there is a crack in the door, you can get out. You know, they say there's trickle-down economics. Well, there's trickle-out for capitalism, that, and what Mises is describing, if there is a loophole, that at least you can recoup some of your earnings and you can work within the system, although it's still messy. It's not real free markets. But that certainly is the best way to do it. But if that is the case, you know, it's sort of like tax abatements. Why don't we give some companies tax abatements and not other ones? If it works and it brings people in and gives them a temporary benefit, why don't we abate the taxes on everybody? And the reason is, obviously, then who's going to pay all the bills, and who's going to how are they going to raise the revenues? But yes, I think the loopholes are an escape from an overburdened system, too much spending. But it is not the final answer. You should always vote for the loophole. As a member of Congress, I would always vote for the loophole, anything that would lower taxes. And some good libertarian thinking people say, Well, no, you can't do it if you're going to increase the deficit. The deficit is a problem, which I agree with. But if you're going to rationalize and allow the spending to go on and say, well, maybe if there's the deficit is bad, well, maybe eventually the deficit will encourage them to cut back. So far, that hasn't been the case. The world has been quite willing to allow us to live way beyond our means and print the money, use it as a reserve currency. Everybody seems to be happy about that right now. But there's also a lot of people that are very nervous about it, and they're nervous about what's coming. On one hand, they look and they say, oh, it's great, less regulations, and Trump has done some things and they're moving in that direction. Oh, yeah, we're going to have tax cuts. But the other sense, there's a move on for protectionism, and that's never good for an economy. And there's no sign that spending is going to be cut. Spending is going to continue, which means there's going to be a lot of pressure put on the Fed, because if you allow the market to determine interest rates, which is the free market approach, it would cause a sharp downturn in the economy. Even though it would lead to an eventual better economy, it's not going to happen, because presidents do have influence over the Fed, and they want to spend. And right now, part of the exuberance in the stock market all is, hey, yeah, the Fed's been a problem and their interest rates are creeping up, but now we're going to have fiscal stimulus. That's a good old liberal attitude. But this administration is for a stimulus by spending more money. And although the Republicans are in charge of the House and the Senate, they're not bashful about that. They like to spend money, too, even though their rhetoric is always talking about the deficit. And we did in the campaign hear about $20 trillion, you know, national debt, we have to do something about that. Yeah, spend more money and let the Fed take care of it. But they're balancing this off by improving some things, you know, like less regulations and lower taxes. But it isn't the answer. It isn't the answer that Mises talked about, and his suggestion that the loopholes, in the meantime, the more the merrier, and that would help. And that's an escape. People aren't falling through the cracks. They're creeping out through the cracks to get away from it. They don't fall through the cracks that our government creates. It creates these bad problems. And then as people fall through the cracks, then, of course, we have to bail them out, too. But we know that our government will always bail out the very wealthy, too, when there's a financial crisis. The banks, big corporations, the military-industrial complex, they always get their bailout. So we're locked in place for that, mainly because it's going to be very difficult to adjust, to a true tax reform and tax reduction, and because that requires, whole change in a understanding of what the role of government ought to be.
Yes. Now, no matter what President Trump comes out with, we pretty much know what the knee-jerk reaction on the left is going to be. They're going to go to their, how are you going to pay for it? Now, that's a certain philosophy that they're following, Dr. Paul, when they say something like that. Please talk about that.
Yeah, I think this is the key to what's going on, because we don't know when the tax cuts are going to come, and they always have to be paid for. Now, this was all started by Democrats, because they claim that all the income belongs to the government, and the government allows you to keep so much of it. So if you let the people keep more money, it costs the government money. And therefore, you have to pay for it. If you're going to give somebody a reduction in taxes, you have to raise it on somebody else. They never say cut the spending. So you always pay for it by raising it elsewhere. But conservatives are like that, too. It's over the years, it crept into their language as well, that we have to pay for it and take care of it. But it's really complete nonsense. It's your money. If we give you back your money, why does somebody have to pay for it? But that's an attitude that prevails in Washington, so therefore they have to go to the next step of more mischief in raising taxes elsewhere. But this has been known, for a long time, and I think that if that isn't resolved, if that is not pointed out, I don't think we're going to have lower taxes this year. Although even today, the president has said we got to get our tax program lined up. I think there'll be some roadblocks. I think there are so many powerful special interests out there and so many different members of Congress, and most of them, want to protect their constituency, whether it's the conservatives in the military-industrial complex or liberals on welfare programs. So they're always going to protect that, and they're not going to cut anything. So I think that the procrastination will come. They'll be about a lot of lip service. But there's predictions that it won't come until 2018, and I won't be surprised if it's late in 2018. But I wish what they would do is just immediately lower, tax rates and give a boost, a real boost to the economy, and also get rid of some of the spending. I'm not talking about waste and fraud and abuse. That's the nature of government. You always have that. You never get rid of that. What you have to do is get rid of programs. You have to get rid of the attitude that government is to run a welfare state, both for rich and poor, and to run a military state that we are the policemen of the world and dictate everything around the world. As long as that happens, the deficits are going to continue, and real tax reductions are going to be very, very difficult.
Yes, finally, let's sum all this up. Some of this you already touched on earlier, but government doesn't go voluntarily and shrink itself. Now, they may lower direct taxation, but there's always backdoors taxation that can occur, and the government is well aware on all the indirect ways that they can burden us with taxes. So please talk about those indirect taxes.
Well, they try to hide them. An indirect tax is one which is delayed for a long period of time. If we had to pay for everything that we spend it on, government would be very small. But because it can be indirect and delayed passed on to another generation, then it's hard to trace. It's hard to find the victims. If we just raise taxes on everybody, everybody would be a victim. And wars especially are never paid for through taxation. They're paid through inflation. And I remember this coming up in the presidential debates. Which tax do you hate the most? Well, I don't like the income tax, but I also pointed out very strongly that the inflation tax is a real monster, because that is so seductive. It's regressive. Poor people suffer the most because the government just prints the money, and the tax becomes the devaluation. Yeah, that is stated policy of the Federal Reserve, is to tax through printing money. Their goal is, and they're upset with the recovery because there's not enough price inflation. They want prices to go up, which means that you want people to have a lower standard of living and that your money has less value. So if you have prices double, you've gotten rid of half of the debt. So, and it is a tax. It's an invisible tax. But the reason why it's regressive is the fact that poor people get these price increases at the very beginning or at the end. By the time the money circulates, the people who benefit the most are the ones who receive the money initially, the big corporations and a military-industrial complex. The government itself, the politicians benefit from it, but they pass this on. I believe that when you spend money, it's an immediate tax. It's a tax on the system. There's always a payment. So if people could concentrate on spending as a tax, it's easier to understand. I never dealt a lot of time in the way to collect revenues. I thought that was missing the point, whether it should be a sales tax or whether it should be an income tax or a flat tax. That was just sort of hiding from the fact that taxes are too high. But they can tax directly, or they can borrow, and then you don't tax people immediately, and you just pass it on to the next generation, get 30-year bonds or whatever, and you can pay the bills. And then, of course, the other one is when the Fed buys those bills and they monetize it. But there's a lot of other hidden things. One thing that taxes the system is what they do when they get the money. Not only do we talk about the welfare and the warfare they spend it on, which increases the possibility that they're going to get into trouble and have to keep taxing. Every time the government writes a law or regulation, you have to write two more to correct it. So it's a taxing thing. And then when you have big government There is a very good correlation between the size of government, the number of laws, and the amount of liberty you have. The more laws you have, the less choices that you get to make. The more regulations there are and the taxes, the more they tell you how to spend the money. And that is a tax on our liberties. But, you know, just recently, I think even today, they talked about the president mentioning the fact that about tax exemption for churches, and he thinks that if they're tax exempt, they ought to be able to participate in political discussion. But the liberals come by and they say, "Oh no, they are getting a subsidy from the government because they're tax exempt." It's back to this idea that if you get your own money back, it's a subsidy. But there is a difference. Somebody drew the analogy between the churches having the right to speak out, even though they're a tax exempt, but they don't get any money from the government. They said, well, it's sort of like Planned Parenthood. And they wanted to say, well, Planned Parenthood is tax exempt, and they get to speak out, and they politicize it all the time. But I'd put more regulations on Planned Parenthood because they get money from the government. You know, and that's different. If you give money to the government, it's sort of like the unions and government unions, I think, technically aren't allowed to be involved in lobbying Congress, which they do anyway, and they have a lot of pressure. But once you take money from one group and give it to another, they shouldn't be able to lobby Congress. And that is not a free speech issue. It's just common sense issue. But to equate that with a church that has tax exemption as getting a subsidy from other taxpayers is complete nonsense. And that's why this tax code is such a mess. That's why we need to simplify it. And it's very easy to simplify. I don't know why they struggle over this. Let's just get rid of the 13th Amendment and 17th Amendment. And let's get rid of the income tax and get rid of the IRS. In the meantime, in order for that to work, you get rid of the welfare state and you have a military defense policy defending our country and not policing the world. Believe me, we would all be happier, and we wouldn't have so many forms to fill out. If you want to see some real economic growth, we ought to see that. And I don't believe for one minute that we would be more vulnerable as a nation. We would have so much more to fight and protect, and the American people could protect themselves and ourselves under those circumstances. And we don't have to have more weaponry than everybody else put together in the world and assume the responsibility. So very simple, get rid of the income tax and cut the spending, change the role of government to, you know, if you want a guide on how to design a government that would be beneficial, we could start with just sort of looking at the Constitution and seeing what we can do and can't do and where the permissions are on what we're allowed to do as a country and what the federal government's allowed to do. So it's not complex, and we'll have a chance to put that in place. Because this system won't last. This system, this type of system always ends. The end of this system is just as inevitable as the end of the communist system was. Mises, we mentioned just a little while ago, said socialism can't work. It always fails. And we didn't have to have a nuclear war with Russia, the Soviets. We ended up waiting because they would self-destruct. And there's some people out there that are annoyed by us using drones and bombs and interfering and getting in nation building. They're waiting because what we're doing can be very destructive. Then maybe we can get enough people to say, you know, maybe it does make a sense. Let's have real tax reform. Get rid of the income tax along with getting rid of the incentive to tax the people as our government has been for so many years. So that's a simple solution, Chris. I hope someday we can move it along in that direction. But thank you, Chris, for being with us today.
We're doing our best. Thanks, Dr. Paul.
Okay. And I want to thank our audience for joining us to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.